Welcome to Easy Presents. I'm Alex.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Laura.
And it's the three of us today because Adrian couldn't make it. He had a scheduling conflict, so we'll continue on without him, and you're feuding again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I told him not to come.
Yeah, he knows what he did.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to see our new car, is what it is.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I will make up any excuse.
We are good at making up excuses. We're good at making up things in general.
Mm-hmm. Listen to the following.
And the previous. previous like 130 episodes I think we've done so far.
Wow.
Yep, we're trucking along.
Yeah. For this week we're going to do kind of a different type of subject matter. Last time Adrian mentioned that he was out because his kids were doing sports and stuff. I was like, hey, sports, let's tie that in a little bit to this category for the subject matter. So we're going to do our draft of superheroes. A team of five, I think, is the easiest number to go to. If one of us picks a character, then no one else can pick that character. Also, they are drafted to our team. Let's say basketball, because that's the only thing I can think of that has teams of five on the court at the same time. And we rolled a die earlier before we started recording. I have the highest number, so I had to go first.
He cheated.
Yes, yeah. I totally cheated.
He totally went data on it and crushed the die to be what he wanted.
And made Jerry get the lowest number. Mm-hmm. It's not height related at all. That's not what we're doing. At all.
I did look at that, like, when I was Googling about what's important for basketball. They're like, oh, the tall people usually take this position. I was like, okay, who's a tall character that I can put in that position?
So I do want to set some ground rules, because some of the characters are like, oh, if you have someone that can mind control people, then I'll just control the other team. That's not fair. So some of the ground rules are no flying. No manipulation of the ball without your abilities, like no telekinesis, like, oh, you're throwing it, I can just whiz it around my head and be done.
Okay, could we still, like, if I picked Superman, could I still use Superman just without the flight?
Because, yeah, I would say yes.
So we're taking away the powers, not the characters.
Correct, yes, the powers.
Okay.
And it has to be your normal self. So, like, you can pick Iron Man, but he's just a dude. He doesn't have any special abilities.
Oh, so, he can't have his suit?
Nope. We're doing whatever powers that they have.
They're in basketball jerseys.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's a pickup game. It's a pickup game of basketball.
Okay.
So Iron Man is useless.
Iron Man, I would not pick. Well, I mean.
Well, I guess he could pay off the refs. He's rich.
I wish I'd had these rules before I picked my team. Cheater.
I mean, it's the three of us. We're a democracy. We can negotiate these rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely think no mind controlling of the opposite team.
Agreed.
Yeah. No telekinesis. And no telekinesis of the object itself. Like, if you're playing basketball, you can't, like, control the basketball yourself. But, you, like, if you use that to, like, move yourself, like, to shuffle sort of thing, maybe. But I wouldn't do, like, oh, you can't, like, trip someone with that, too.
Yeah. Tie their shoelaces together real quick.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm torn. Like, I almost want to ask a question, but that will reveal my character, and I don't want you to steal my character. So I think I'm going to wait until I could possibly draft them and be like, is this legit? Okay. And I'll ask my question in sequence.
And we can make it up as we go.
Right.
Yeah. I mean that's going to happen anyway.
Right.
Like, luckily, in this particular instance where I'm worried, I have five choices. So
that's we'll fair. See. So I think those are good ground rules to start with. So I will go with my first pick, the first pick of the 2023 fake AEC draft goes to...
For basketball type balls.
For basketball type sport. I would pick Jean Grey.
After you said, be careful they can do mind control.
Because I'm not going to control the other team, but she can communicate with everybody, so they're in constant communication with each other.
Ooh.
So they can strategize their whole platform. She's the hub. Like... She can, like, no. All right, everyone's in constant communication with that ability.
I can counter that.
No, I forget. Like, I was looking up the names of the different positions, too. That's, like, the point guard, right, is the one who tries to,
shepherd
everything.
I don't actual sport. I just know there are five players. And
okay.
There are three people that are on the outside, usually two people that are inside for rebounds and blocking, and that's about it.
Oh, where did it go?
Point guard, shooting guard, power Yep. Forward.
Sorry, basketball fans that actually know sports balls, but that's, you should know better than expect sports knowledge, true sports knowledge, other than baseball. Jared will get that one.
I can handle baseball.
But I know the rules of basketball. I know how to play it. I'm not particularly good at myself, But so, yeah.
Sorry, let me see if I can find it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Point guard. Usually the fastest player on the team organizes the team's offense by controlling the ball and making sure it gets to the right player at the right time. So I think you want Jean Grey to be your point guard.
Sure.
That was how I interpreted the assignment, that I should find out what the five players are and assign them to each.
See, that's what I'm doing in my head.
See, I'm thinking of who would work well together. So
merits to both.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I went with, if they're a team, they're going to figure out how to be a team together.
Yeah. But, I just cheated. Jean Grey, she can do the networking sort of thing.
I think the referee needs to be the Hulk.
Oh, I didn't even think about choosing a ref.
I'm just spitballing. I'm actually envisioning this game.
See, I think of it like a pickup game where there is no ref. Yeah. It's like you call your own fouls and that sort of thing. So, yeah, Jean Grey is my first pick. Laura, who would you like to be for your first pick?
I bet that I surprise no one that I want Spider-Girl Mayday Parker to be my first pick. Because I don't know how many people actually have read any Spider-Girl, but my first vision of Spider-Girl, I actually read issue number one first, because there's a number zero What If that I didn't know existed until after I'd read number one. But in number one, the first panel is her waking up just before her alarm goes off, silencing it before it goes off. She bounces off all the walls, lands in her walk-in closet, and starts picking out her outfit. But as she bounces off the walls, there's a WNBA poster, like she's a sporty, popular young girl.
She's athletic.
Yeah.
And with the spidey sense, you couldn't steal the ball from her.
Mm-hmm.
She'd see it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although
that's a really good point guard.
Yeah, in issue zero, that is the position I chose for her too. Yep. I wanted to make her my point guard. Like, as I made my list, I only put one point guard. I was like, it has to be Mayday. That's my first pick. Like, I'm getting her. Nobody's stopping me from my Mayday. Unless I had rolled poorly. But so the other half of it is that's how she discovered her powers. In issue zero, What If number 105 was reprinted as Spider-Girl number zero. She is a basketball player, and no one's really thought about it until, like, this is a big championship game. She is in her moment. She talks about she's in her zone. Like, I actually reread the first couple pages to, like, make sure I had it fresh in my mind on Marvel Unlimited, if anyone has that. But, yeah, she accidentally doesn't even realize she has a spider sense, and she's, like, evading all the players, running all the way across the court. She jumps in the air. She kind of does the splits in the air, slams the ball between her legs, through the hoop, slam dunk, crushes the backboard, and she's like, yeah, I don't know how I did that. Like, I need to figure out how to do this again. I could get a college scholarship. This is amazing. And her parents are like, oh no, we have an idea how she did that.
She's got the power.
It's not going to get her a college scholarship.
Yeah, as soon as you said Spider-Girl, that's the picture that was in my head, was that scene itself. I was like, yep, that's why.
Yep, that's like page two or three of issue zero. And like, I feel bad because as iconic as it is, she also looks really demonic. Like, the way her makeup is, she's, like, she looks kind of angry. But I guess, like, you can get resting bee face when you're sportsing.
Isn't her hair, like, extra, like, straight and liney, like almost like an angry? I'm thinking it's like that, too.
Yeah, I think it was kind of spiky.
Yeah, it was, like, an aggressive looking
image. Yeah, I feel, obviously, since What If was a whole different team and it was ahead of when she got spun off into her own issues, like the artist team was different. I did not write that down, which I should have. But I know, like, Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz were at least the writers on the full thing, the full Spider-Girl. I'm not sure for What If who was, but we can look that up later. But regardless, like, the art changes a little bit. It's more what I'm familiar with, obviously, on issue one through the rest of it. But issue zero is different because it was a one-off What If thing. But yeah, like, Spider-Girl to me is iconic with basketball. As soon as you said basketball, it's like, Spider-Girl, number one, point guard. Like, I lied. I didn't know point guard until I Googled it earlier today. But then I decided she's the leader. she'll get the ball where it needs to be. Like, she will make the small points. Let's see, what else did it say? It also said that could be a shorter person. I was like, compared to other men, she's probably just a little bit shorter. So those were the assets I went for Mayday Park to be my pick as the point guard.
All right.
On my team.
Jared, who is your first draft pick?
My first pick was the Invisible Woman.
Oh, nice. So
when she gets the ball, you're not going to be able to find her.
Unless you have a spider sense.
Or unless you have echolocation.
Yeah, I know. There's.
Or you can read minds. Hey,
that was my first pick. Don't stomp on it yet.
Now, does that count as you can't use your mind control, or not really mind control, but
your power sense? Influence the ball.
Right. So she can go invisible, but the ball can't.
But she could be sitting by the ring. No one knows she's there. You pass it to her, she shoots real quick.
Or
rebound.
Block.
Like, yep. Or block.
Block.
Yeah, that would be awesome for her to block.
I think that's a good pick.
I'm picturing her like going through the hoop, like just put her hand right in the middle of the hoop.
They can't do that. That's goaltending.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So yeah, that's it. That's a good one. I didn't even think of her.
Prove it.
That's a good pick. You should have picked You should have picked Human Torch and just have the ball explode and just game over.
Powers can't influence the ball.
True.
But that'd be a good way to do it.
That would be a way. My second pick. So I have Jean Grey coordinating everybody, but I want someone that has natural ability with projectiles and angles and everything. So I'm going to go with Hawkeye.
Ooh, good because one.
He's just a regular human, but he there's one the one book is like, oh yeah, you have a god, we got a super soldier. What's my ability? Is I hit the target every single time. So that's my thing. I practice all the time. So he would theoretically be great at throwing things and either passing or to shoot. Like, he would have the angles down to get it to people that he needs to get it to. Plus with Jean Grey, like, hey, this person's open, that person's whoever, like, they can coordinate that and do impossible weird angles with that.
That reminds me of in that the Christmas special Hawkeye limited edition thing on Netflix. Or was it Netflix?
It was Disney Plus. The Disney Plus series.
One of those streaming services. When he and the new Hawkeye were like snapping the bottle caps into doing trick shots.
Yeah.
I feel like that's similar enough. I guess it's not the snapping motion, but I feel like he can apply that.
Yeah.
So. You look at any time. They talk about in what? One of those Marvel movies, he played golf and hit 18.
Right.
You know, so
I missed that one.
He's sports related.
I had one other person. I was like, well, in case he gets picked, I have a backup. So like, some of these people I have like, okay, and here's a backup for that. And here's a backup for that. So.
You don't want to mention those yet.
Nope.
Yeah, we could, after we finish our picks, like we could do our runners up.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So yeah, so my team, just to recap, Jean Grey and Hawkeye are my two so far. Laura, who is your second pick?
Okay. So I wanted to go with Superior Spider-Man, but I was thinking about when he has the like extra iron arms and things. Is that allowed? Can he use... Or like Iron Spider, how they had those, like the exoskeleton.
No, because that's part of his suit if we're not going to allow Iron Man.
Now, you could do mutated Spider-Man where he grew his extra arms. Or...
Maybe. Although, I'd also thought of Spider-Penny Parker, but that's also a mech suit. So I guess I couldn't use that either. See, I think you should have shared these rules before we start picking.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I guess, at first I wanted to do an all-spider group, obviously. But
no way.
Maybe I will go with Mr. Fantastic for my center then, because he can be as tall as he needs to be, and that's a power that I don't think you should be able to squelch.
Yeah, right? And he can stretch like all the way across the court. Like he can do a slam dunk from one end. He can go coast to coast, slam dunk.
So yeah, I think I'll pick, based on the new rules that I was recently apprised of, I will give Mr. Fantastic my center position. So
that's a good one, yeah.
Yep. Don't you wish you thought of that?
Yeah.
And rolled higher.
I can counter both of those, actually.
Okay.
Who you got?
Jared, okay, I'm going to go with Martian Manhunter, who can shapeshift, stretch, that kind of stuff. And he's got that mental to be able to link his team together.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm tempted to pick Human Torch then, just so he can just flame on and not affect the fire, but just completely neuter him. Like, oh, he can't do anything because of fire. I'm real tempted on that one. But I don't think I'm going to yet. I don't think it's that.
You don't feel that threatened.
I don't feel that threatened. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one, but I think that's just basically making you catch up to Jean Grey at that point.
Yeah, we should give him a chance.
And catching up to both of you.
Yeah.
It's Invisible Woman that the not being able to affect the ball kind of shot some of my ideas down, but still a good pick. I'm still happy with it.
Yep. So that means up to me for my third pick. I think for my third pick, it'll definitely screw with everyone else. I'm going to pick Mystique for my third pick.
Ooh.
Because she can shapeshift and she can confuse your guys' team by looking like your guys' teammates. Like, which one's the real one? Which one's on my team? Which one's not?
Wait, don't we all have to be wearing jerseys, though? She has to wear the same jersey as her team.
I mean, not necessarily.
I think that should be a new rule.
It's what incarnation is she? Because sometimes she can only shapeshift her skin. Other times she can do the whole outfit, too. Most known is when she can do a whole outfit.
I would like to propose, like you know how like you have your home jersey and your away jersey. I think that you have to wear your team outfit. So we can't completely be confused, but if our outfits happen to be too close. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I watch basketball and I'm like, who's playing who?
That's fair. Especially the way uniforms versus the home uniforms. Like, oh, they're the white ones, but they're not because they're at the different area.
Yeah, they're the white ones with the yellow stripe, not the white ones with the red stripe. That's barely visible.
Okay. So with that in mind, then, I'd like to revise my decision. instead of Mystique, then.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I would pick Taskmaster because anything he can see, he can duplicate. So he has all regular sports players plus the other opponents that he's going with. So he also has, at this point, he would also have Hawkeye's trajectory skills plus any other NBA player or whoever, the athlete. Like, he can mimic everybody. So,
can he actually mimic, like, Mr. Fantastic? Can he stretch things?
No.
Okay.
No, I have a funny video about that, though. But
in the show notes.
As long as regular human abilities, like like whenever he fights, fighting styles, he can copy. So Captain America,
that's what fight I
like
thought, him. Or, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So it works in anything he could do physically wise. So I think he'd be a good all-around sportsman at that point. So, yeah, I'm going to Taskmaster as my third pick then.
Yeah, I did not. I did this before I read Spider-Man 925, where Taskmaster had a little, and I completely forgot his skill set. But that is a good one.
Thank you. Who would you like your third pick to be?
Okay, this is where my big question comes in. I'm just kind of going down my list, and I am at power forward, which I Googled was supposed to be someone who's very strong. And I immediately thought of Cosmic Spider-Man, but he has the Enigma Force. Can he use that power in basketball?
I'd say yeah. I mean,
okay. Then I would like to pick Cosmic Spider-Man. Because again, as long as he's
not like specifically using power, the cosmic power to alter the ball itself. I mean, it's just himself. So
okay. Then I think he would be a very strong character to use as the power forward in my basketball team. So Cosmic Spider-Man.
I like that you're saying what position. Like, I don't know what any of these are.
Because I thought that was important. No, like, that's fair. When you tell me to sports balls, I at least Wikipedia.
You did more studying on that than I did, that's for sure. But that's good. So yours might actually be a more sound team versus ours is just being thrown like, oh, this would be cool with this.
No, mine has some logic behind it.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I did play some basketball in high school, so I know the positions. I know what they're supposed to do and stuff like that.
Well, fine. I'm just the only one then, but that's okay.
But yeah, I'm still winging it.
Yeah.
I kind of didn't know exactly how to pick just five people without looking up what each position would be best for. So that helped me narrow down. It wasn't just five randoms. It was people who would be good at the certain positions.
That's fair. Jared, who is your third pick?
Well, power forward, I would go with Wonder Woman. She's an Amazon, which means she's taller generally, you know. She's got that height advantage, but she's a trained warrior. You know, she throws her tiara, so I know she can aim and shoot the ball then. So, and she's got the strength to be able to match pretty much anybody. So I figured that'd be a good pick. And she can fly. But that's not allowed, I know. Right. But, you know, that was one of the reasons.
Right. Well, I mean she's the equivalent, basically, of female Superman. I mean, at that pretty point, of what her abilities would be useful in the basketball game.
Right. I don't think anyone's No, I'll wait till the end. Just in case someone picks him.
So my fourth pick then, I'm going to pick Kitty Pryde. Imagine trying to guard her like, oh, I got her covered. She just phased right through me. Okay, that's not fair.
Unless she goes up against Martian Manhunter.
I mean, different universes.
They can phase through each other. And
She's not phasing the ball, but she's just herself phasing through.
I was going to say, as long as she doesn't double dribble as she phases through. Like,
and she doesn't make herself float to fly sort of thing, because she's done that a couple times too. But I think that'd be a fun, oh, I got her covered. No, never mind.
She's gone.
Or whatever.
Or she goes under and pops back out, someone passes her the ball.
Or she goes mostly intangible except for her hand, so she just swipes the ball from you with just her hand while the rest of her goes through you.
Ooh.
So.
Damn. That was a good choice.
Thank you. When you mentioned Invisible Woman, I was like, I can counter that one, too.
I'm afraid that you've got, like, a really good team.
But Spider-Man can, your Spider-Girl and stuff like that, they can counter that with their Spider, well, like, yeah.
Yeah, they'll know he's going to phase through, but it kind of depends if it's a danger threat or not. Yeah. And your version of Spider-Man.
And what they receive as danger. Are they competitive so they would perceive danger through the skill? And just because you can perceive the danger doesn't mean you can actually do anything about it, too. You just know it's there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is my fourth pick. So, to recap, my team is Jean Grey, Hawkeye, Taskmaster, and Kitty Pryde.
It's a good team.
So far. Laura, who is your fourth pick?
I wrote small forward next, randomly, because I was... Yeah, I forget what that one means. But it sounded like it was someone who needed to be agile and quick and didn't have to be very tall. Like, it really made me laugh when I was reading Wikipedia. It basically organized the different positions based on height, as if that's the main skill set you need for basketball, which makes some sense. But so I think that I'm going to pick my Peter Parker Prime, like 616 Spider-Man, for my small forward, because he's got agility, but he's not necessarily the tallest guy, and he's got strength. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to work great with his daughter, because they've always been great teammates together in any team up I've seen. And yeah.
So the problem I see with your team so far is assuming they actually make it to the game on time, because Spider-Man's always late to everything.
Well, Spider-Man, but, I assume that Cosmic...
You need a coach at this point.
I assume that Cosmic Spider-Man, can he manipulate time to get there on time? I don't know much about Cosmic Spider-Man.
I mean, theoretically, in this conversation, that would all... Everything would line up, but I thought that would just be a fun jab. Like, never mind, they didn't show up because they're busy doing other things, and they forgot.
Saving the world.
And just forgetting, because sometimes... He does that.
I feel like he always remembers, but not at the right time.
I'm supposed to be there, like, right now, and I'm across the city. Crap.
Yeah, usually Mayday was pretty good about timing stuff, but we got Mr. Fantastic, so he can monitor time.
Yeah. So to recap, who are the four on your team then?
I've got Mayday Parker, Mr. Fantastic, Cosmic Spider-Man, and Peter Parker 616.
All right. Jared, who is your fourth pick?
This is getting tougher. I'm trying to counter your teams now. So far, I've got the shooting guard as the Invisible Woman. My center is Martian Manhunter. My power forward is Wonder Woman. I was thinking about... Oh, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't think anyone's going to pick him at this point.
You still have one more pick after this. Keep that in mind. Yeah. You get the advantage of getting the final pick, because everyone else will. You can see what we all have, and you can go from there.
That's true. I'm actually thinking about. Oh, I don't want to say it, just in case I don't pick them.
Write it down for later, just in case. But you need a fourth pick.
My fourth pick.
10 seconds on the clock.
Okay, wow. So I got a question. I'm not going to pick this person, but I was just looking at this Green Lantern comic. Would you say one Green Lantern, or could I pick Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner?
Oh, yeah.
It's a person. Each one's a person.
Okay, so I could have had a team full of Green Lanterns if I wanted to.
That's like I was doing the Spider-Man thing. Like, I got Cosmic Spider-Man, yeah.
The problem with the team of Green Lanterns, though, is, again, you can't manipulate the ball with the ring, and that's basically what their strength would be.
Yep. I would have to say, see, there's so many you could pick at this point. What would be the right one, and how would you guys counter it?
And heroes and villains. Villains are on the table. I mean,
oh, I never even thought about villains.
Yeah, I wrote down.
Because I mentioned Mystique, and that's a villain, so. The pressure is mounting.
The pressure is mounting.
See, I had the advantage of, I was at the store today, so I was looking through like, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes, yes.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about the Spider-Verse movies. Like, I honestly, one thing I Googled was, how tall are all the Spider-Men? There was actually a video that went over how tall all the Spider-Men are. It surprised me they said Miles Morales was actually kind of short, but I also think it was because he's a teen, like a young teen in the Spider-Verse, the first Spider-Verse movie. Like, even Spider-Gwen was taller than him in the way they showed it.
All right, Jerry, we bought you as much time as you can.
Okay. Yeah, sorry I talked over you.
No, that's okay. Nope,
that's you perfectly bought him fine. Time. You bought me just a little bit of time. Okay, I'm going to go with Batman as my point guard.
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
Effectively.
Yep. Yeah. That seems like a good position
with
for him.
His reflexes, speed. I mean, he's not super powered or anything, but he's Batman. He throws his batarangs, he's not going to miss a shot.
And he's a master tactician that can figure out the weaknesses that everybody has.
And with Martian Manhunter, you know, he'll call the shot. He would have been a good coach for me, actually. But I'm going to keep him where I said.
All right.
So Batman as my point guard.
So recap, who are your four?
So my four so far are Invisible Woman, Martian Manhunter, Wonder Woman, and Batman.
Okay. So I have the fifth and final pick of the teammates. Recap, I have Jean Grey, Hawkeye, Taskmaster, and Kitty Pryde. My fifth one is the ace I've been saving the entire time. That will possibly break this game completely. Multiple Man from the X-Men X-Factor. Because he'll just make copies of himself, duplicate after duplicate after duplicate. They're still in their uniform, so they're still within the team on team. But you just change a 5-person team into a 10, 20, 30, 40, all the same person.
But there's still only one ball.
Yeah, that's fine. Who needs the dribble, though, when you can just pass it to the next person, pass the next person, pass the next person? Who needs the block when you just make a human pyramid of yourself? And if someone hits you, oh, there's another copy. There's even more of us now. Multiple Man is my fifth person. Because he is super cheap and cheesy.
Super cheap.
It's cheap and cheesy, but it will get the job done. There's never enough love for Multiple Man. So this is a pick for Josh because he loves Multiple Man also.
I'm tempted now to bring out Miles Morales with his sandwich because I feel like the sandwich always drew Multiple Man out.
That wasn't Multiple Man.
Oh, it wasn't? Who was it that in Battle World? Shoot. It's something with an M though, isn't it?
I think. Multiple Man is Jamie Madrox of the X-Factor.
Yeah, so, that means nothing to me.
It's the X-Men world. But I will look up who you're thinking of. But that is not Multiple Man.
Dang it. Okay. I do not have the Kryptonite. The Kryptonite cheeseburger to your Multiple Man.
So, I can go you still have the intangibility with
Martian
Manhunter. Martian Manhunter, which helps.
Yep.
But I think my just sheer force of cheap numbers can overwhelm a lot of stuff going on here.
Oh, isn't that, what's it called? Like offsides? I know that's a ice hockey term. Can you have too many people on the team?
But the court? Technically, they're all the same person. So that's why I'm going to cheat with that. I'm saying five people on the court at the same time, but they're all the same person. And they're complete copies now.
Oh, so you're trading out some of your team members for Multiple Man?
Yeah. He's just one person, so he's one multiple people. So, like, foul on Multiple Man. They're all Multiple Man. It's kind of like King Conqueror, where it's all the same.
As long as you're not, like, throwing fouls. Aren't there people, like, fake a foul? Yeah, they, like, take rules, an elbow.
There's rules in basketball. If you get so many fouls, you foul out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you better watch it, Multiple Man. There's more of you to get disqualified.
It's true. That is a possibility, but
now I'm back to wanting that ref you mentioned earlier. I think we do need a ref if you're going to have Multiple Man like this.
So, the first person I thought of was like, Multiple Man, he'd be everybody. And then some.
That's a really good pick.
Because he's still the same person.
I'm trying to think of how that could be countered.
Well, you have a little bit of time because now it's Laura's turn to pick her fifth and final person.
Which is funny because, like, honestly, I kind of threw away my shooting guard. Like, the main thing that Google said about this one was that they're shorter and they just need to do this, this, and this. And I was like, short people, Wolverine. Like, that's good. I am also thinking, like, to stick with my spider theme, I kind of want to pick Spider-Ham because he's one of the shortest Spider-Man characters.
He is shorter than Wolverine.
Yep. But I guess he doesn't necessarily bring a lot to the basketball team. He's just, like, a hilarious short character. But, you know, sometimes it's about having fun. It's not fun, right? Yeah. Not like you. You just want to wreck the rules and steal the game. So, yeah, I think I'm going to pick Spider-Ham because I think he's hilarious.
It stays on theme.
Yep. Right, yeah, Jerry. Other than, like, I've got Mr. Fantastic is kind of out there, but it's an homage to the Bagman. He's wearing a bag on his head there to be go. Part of the Spider team.
All right, Jared.
Okay.
Who is your fifth and final person?
Okay. What's going to beat Spider-Ham?
So these aren't my picks. Since we're done picking, right. Here's what I was thinking. I thought about doing Mysterio because he could create illusions and throw you guys off, but you've got Jean Grey. They'd see right through that.
And Spider-Man senses.
With the spider senses wouldn't do much. Then I thought of Weather Wizard to kind of make things really cold so multiple man freezes.
Or Storm even at that point, too.
Right, but that's going to affect my team, too.
Yeah.
So I've only got really two people that wouldn't affect a whole lot in Martian Manhunter and Wonder Woman. But Batman, he'd get cold. He's a normal human. Invisible Woman, she's still going to be affected by the elements. So those were my first two. Then I thought about Ghost Rider because he could strike fear into the other team, but your powers can't influence the other team.
Right.
So I thought about that. These rules are really hindering choices. What's tough.
Because he can get over the top pretty quickly if we didn't.
Right. I'm leaning towards the Flash right now because that would be a really good counter to Multiple Man. He could just zip right through him, you know?
He can literally speed phase through people.
Right. So that's where I'm leaning right now. But because I was thinking of, like, Nova. What could Nova do?
Without his helmet.
Right, without his helmet. It's nothing.
He's just a person.
Ghost Rider. I already mentioned Ghost Rider. I thought about Black Widow, you know, being as sneaky as she is, she could kind of...
I think she'd be good at this.
Turn the game around. But Flash is about where I'm leaning right now. To counter what you guys have.
That is a respectable choice.
I'll do that. I'm going to go with the Flash.
So Flash is your fifth. So, I know we talked about possibly having coaches. I don't think it really matters.
Not really, but who would you choose to coach your team at that point?
I mean, at this point, anybody, if you come up with them, just since there's no real order at this point, I'd say call them out.
At first, I was going to pick Professor X.
That was my instinct also at first.
To do the mind thing, but I've got Martian Manhunter.
I've got Jean Grey doing that also, too.
Right.
Right.
That'd be a good one for you. my first thought was Batman for a little bit because he's like a master tactician. Mm-hmm.
So Doctor Strange, especially with the time stone. So he can see all the possible futures.
So he can figure out
this is we got to do this and this and this and this and this. And that's how we,
but win. He can't use the mind stone. If we say Iron Man can't use the suit,
we said players
like
couldn't, we didn't mention coaches.
Oh, okay.
Cause coaches aren't on the field.
Yeah. Cheater. That would be a good one.
When you talk about knowing all the, sorry to cut you off a little bit, knowing all the outcomes, that makes me also almost wish that I'd made Mr. Fantastic the coach, because when he was assessing that battle world choice with the guy who was taken aback by the cheeseburger, when he was figuring all that out, like he was doing what, Doctor Strange did in the one movie.
I fumbled. Counter Strange.
Ooh.
Brainiac 5 from the Legion of Superheroes. As intelligent as he is, and they've got the technology to use the time bubbles, and he could, you know, go into the future.
Molecule Man.
Ah, that's why. Okay. M-Man something. That's why. Okay.
Someone super intelligent. Yep, I'd go with Brainiac 5 for my coach.
Yeah, a little part of me is like sticking with my spider theme and going kind of off of the most recent Spider-Verse movie. I almost think Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, would be a good team.
Yeah.
Tactician person. Although, I don't know. He's still...
I think Madame Web from the spider theme, because she sees the web of everything.
Yeah, are we thinking...
You can't choose
like...
Uncle Ben. He's not around.
Well, it depends on the Spider-Verse.
And what point in time within the Spider-Verse is also...
Yeah, if we're doing time travel coaches.
Right. King and Conqueror.
Yep.
Shoot, I'm forgetting her name. Jessica Carpenter is the... Well, I guess she's the current Madame Web, right?
I think so.
Sometimes I get confused because, like... In my mind, Madame Web is the cartoon version that has the big chair and the older lady.
That's who I always think
but,
of.
But yeah, I think the current Madame Web is Jessica Carpenter.
That sounds about
which,
right.
Which, she would be a good one. Yeah, I think that I will choose Jessica Carpenter as Madame Web as my coach.
Okay.
So, and did we want to do...
teams. Yeah. Do you want to mention other ones that we thought about potentially putting in? Because I have a list of other characters that I thought about putting in.
I do want to mention them.
So why don't you go ahead first then, Laura?
Okay. I really thought about Kane because he's one of my favorite characters. I thought he'd be a good power forward because he's strong and he sometimes does not give an F about other characters.
Just so we're clear, Kane, the clone of Peter Parker, not Kane, the professional wrestler.
That's who I thought. The big red machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of professional wrestlers because, like, they're not.
No, I just whenever I hear the name players. Kane, that's just who I think of, though.
Oh, okay. I have no idea who he is.
Yeah, that checks out.
Sorry. Kane with an I? Does yours have an I?
No.
There we go. Like, really, most of my alternates were the power forward because I thought of, like, big people like Venom, Hulk, Thing, I thought could be power forwards. And then the other small forward I thought of for agile and small was Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen. So, very obvious picks for me, I think.
Other ones I thought of, Scarlet Witch. But I was like, you
can't manipulate the team
or the balls. Like, that's kind of not great for that.
Yeah.
But she could create half the team by just willing them to
potentially, yeah.
But if... They'd all have to be like multiple man, whether the same person.
Right.
Otherwise, it's more than one person on the court. But she could do it.
Captain America, I thought of also.
I thought about him.
I thought of him.
He did not occur to me at all.
He's like, because again, he knows how to throw the shield, so he knows angles and everything.
Yeah, and he's a master tactician.
And he's got strength and speed and reaction. Falcon's good. If someone would have taken Hawkeye, I would pick Bullseye.
That's another
one that's like full on accuracy. Yep.
I thought about Green Arrow, but I'm just like, yeah, he'd be kind of useless.
Yeah.
When you mentioned Flash, I thought of Daredevil too. He would probably be pretty good with his echolocation and all that.
Yeah.
And then his agility.
I had another whole alternate sort of trifecta. we got Havoc, which is Cyclops' brother. Do Dazzler. To blind all the other team, to blind everybody, and then to counter that, Daredevil, he doesn't need to see. So while everyone's blind, he can just go around and do whatever because he's not affecting anything. Just
good thing I got all my spider sense people.
Yeah. So
yeah, that would be a good
Dazzler would not have gone good against my team.
So I thought like blind, and then okay, who doesn't need to see? Okay, here we go. So those are my alternates. Do you have any other potentials?
Mysterio, the ones I kind of already mentioned. Quicksilver. I thought about Quicksilver, but I'm like, yeah, the Flash is faster.
Maybe.
They've established
that in the comics.
I mean, have they? Because they're separate universes and it's kind of...
When they did the DC Marvel crossover.
Okay.
So, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Sure. I mean, Flash has gone back in time with his running. Now, it's usually with the Cosmic Treadmill or whatever, but...
But he's done it on accident a couple times too.
So yeah, that is our sports balls team of who we would draft and why we would. And I think we have some pretty formidable teams here.
Yeah.
Spider-Girl all the way.
Multiple man, all of them. He's also in the crowd. He's also the coach. He's also the water boy, the towel boy.
That makes me think of like during 2020 when they had like the cardboard cutouts and the stands.
He's all those. He's all the same person. So yeah,
that's how you get around.
Fans are only cheering for one team. Why?
Yeah.
They're not even cheering for one team. They're just cheering for one person.
Yeah, you get around the bacteria, the whole COVID issue. Like, if it's all the same guy, you don't have to stand 6 feet apart.
Right. Yep. So, yeah, those are our teams. So let's move on to the next section that we normally do, which is our comic books of the weeks, especially since it's been a few episodes. Honestly, I only have a couple of them, so I think I can still just do two. If you guys want to just do two also.
Yeah, that's fine.
If that. Yeah, honestly, sorry guys that I've taken like a few weeks off. I was like, oh, I don't have to read. Oh, I don't have time to read. Oh my gosh, it's tomorrow.
So with that, Jared, why don't you go first with one of your favorites of the last few weeks?
I'm going to go more in general because right now DC's got their Night Terror stuff. Right now, so all of the miniseries, they're like, I believe they're 2-issue miniseries. Like the Robin, I enjoyed the Robin, which was Tim Drake and Jason Todd going through their nightmares, working together, you know, trying to help each other out of their nightmares and everything. But number ones were like putting all your superheroes into their worst nightmares. And then number twos seemed to be pulling them back out of it. So Robin number two was really good. Green Lantern 2 was good. I like what they're doing with this series. I know...
It's a fun short event. Yeah. It's not overstaying its welcome.
Right. I think the main series is coming out more than once a month right now.
The main series is twice a month because it's only 4 issues for the main series.
Okay, that's what I thought because I'm like, wow, I'm already at 3.
Issue 3 just came out this week, yeah.
So I've really liked what they're doing, and it's been fun, you know. I think the Joker one's probably been my favorite so far with I haven't read number two. I'm not quite caught up yet. But number one puts him – his worst nightmare is working a 9-to-5 desk job in a cubicle. Like, that is awesome. I'm like, that would be his worst nightmare, and it's been really good. So the Night Terror stuff in general I've really enjoyed so far. I've heard some people haven't, but as a DC fan, I've really enjoyed it. And it's been something different so far. You know, this event book is very... There's one villain, you know. It's not like a war going on. It's one villain that's pretty much incapacitated all the heroes. Now they're coming back.
Right.
And they're coming to their conclusion and everything. But it's been a fun ride so far, and I've really enjoyed the Night Terrors.
All right. My first pick of the last few weeks, X-Men Hellfire Gala number one. This is the kickoff to the X-Men's Fall of the X. Admittedly, I haven't been reading a whole lot of X-Men lately, but ever since they've done the House and Powers of X, each year they do a Hellfire Gala where, oh, we're inviting random citizens to Krakoa to see what's going on. We all have weird gowns and suits and clothing, whatever. This one is when the defecation hits the oscillation and it is not good for the X-Men anymore. But one big thing that came out of this was it is the official resurrection of Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel. She comes back and they're like, oh, turns out you're a mutant. You're not dead anymore. And we don't know what your mutant ability is, but you're one of those weird inhuman mutants. We didn't think it was possible to be both, but you are. So welcome to the X-Men.
Didn't take long.
Yeah, it took off like 2 months, if that, with our normal time.
They killed her to bring her back. Exactly. That's the only reason.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it spoiled in like a QR code at the back of the one issue?
Not exactly. Okay. So like it was the Fallen Friend, I think, it was when they did the end, but they had a QR code that went to link that said, for now, I think, or something like that. Like, oh, we know it's coming back soon.
Okay, maybe it was just some other spoiler that showed her outfit and all that, and everyone's like, oh, she's an X-Man now.
I think they ended up doing a full press release of, like, the week after the Fallen Friend issue came out. Like, oh, and here's surprise, she's coming back. It was a classified book. We couldn't tell you what it was, but here it is now. And everything. Like, we all knew. Come on, guys. But with that being said, this was good to see how the mighty have fallen and how the X-Men how's the Fall of the X, and it was kickoff to that, and it was good. I enjoyed it. It came out looks like the last week of July, so just a couple weeks ago. So yeah, that is my first pick. Laura, what is your pick of the weeks?
I think since I only read like two issues, I'm going to have to go with the Amazing Spider-Man 925 Legacy or 31 in amazing numbers. It was actually a collected issue, a $10 issue.
It's an oversized too. It's not just a regular size for 10. It's chunky.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant by collected. Like, it goes over a little bit of Randy Robertson, Robbie Robertson's son, and shoot, I forgot her name. The girl.
The daughter of...
I'm sure it says her name in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Tombstone.
Daughter of Tombstone, thank you.
Lonnie Lincoln. So her name is Janice Lincoln. Janice there it Lincoln. Is.
She's the Beetle.
Yeah, and actually, I got a little confused because I am behind on my Spider-Man. There's a female Doc Ock running around in here at her bachelorette party, and I'm like, when did she happen?
I'm sorry, I just remember her from the Into the Spider-Verse
stuff.
I don't remember her in the main 616.
Apparently, she's main now. And Janice also invited the Black Cat to her bachelorette party and was like, I just want to tell people that I hung out with you tonight. And I thought that was kind of fun. Let's see. Yeah, there were a lot of like short little stories in here.
But it was good though. Like did the standard one main story, then like two or three backup stories to it.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Kamala Khan shows up in here and Spider-Man's like giving her this is what happened between like what I want to say. When you get resurrected in Krakoa, there's a little gap between like your backed up memory and when you actually died. So Spider-Man's filling in her gap and here's she's like, really? I did that? That sounds awesome.
I saved the world.
I was cool. And then there's a little backstory with Dr. Octopus and hinting that there's going to be more superior Spider-Man stuff.
Which makes me super excited because I enjoyed that run.
I don't know. I can't decide how I feel about that. And Mary Jane being depressed about her babies dying.
They basically no more mutants to her kids were. How Wanda, like, oh, my kids don't exist anymore. And now Mary Jane, her kids doesn't exist anymore. It reminds me a lot of Wanda and her trauma. Like, oh, my kids are gone. And Mary Jane, another redhead. Oh, my kids are gone.
I guess kind of. Like, they were a spell. But I guess so were Wanda's.
Yeah.
But, okay.
It seems very rehashed. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know, I can't decide. Mary Jane kind of annoys me sometimes no matter what, so it's hard for me to allow her to have pain because I'm like, no one cares about your pain. But
you deserve it.
Probably someone cares about her pain. And then there's a little Spider-Woman short that also, that might be a spoiler to talk about what she's upset about. Oh, and then like this one threw me off. There's a little short called The Mother of Invention, and it's definitely making references to I'm drawing a blank. When the Regent was fighting Spider-Man in that alternate timeline with Annie May. Renew Your Vows. The Renew Your Vows storyline. I was so proud of myself when I saw this character. What is her name? Something Stillwell. Yeah, Dr. Shannon Stillwell. She showed up, and I was like, oh, I remember this icon. I remember this person. Like, I'm so proud of myself. But then they're referring to her mother, who's another Stillwell, and I already forgot her name, too. But she, like, called herself, like, Madam Monstrosity. And she's like, oh, all my creations are being reused, my humanimals. I'm like, is this the... No, the High Evolutionary, like the High Evolutionary's wife is here. What's going on? So that little snippet showed up and I was like, it seems really cheesy, but I'm for it. It's okay. And what was the other one? Oh, I was really excited too. There's a little snippet called Huntress that has Kraven the Hunter and the Queen Goblin having a little fight. And I was like, where's this going? And the last one I am completely perplexed by. Let me see if I can find the name of it. Uh-oh, why? I totally do not see the title for this one. but it seems to be referring to the Kingpin a little bit. And so I'm like,
the final one, I don't think it actually has a name.
Oh, okay.
But it is a reference to Spider-Man Reign. That's R-E-I-G-N. Like the dark, like you're reigning over people. So that's what that final story is a reference to.
Okay. So I'll have to find that and catch up on it. Is it necessarily Dark Reign or just Reign?
It is just called Spider-Man Reign.
Yeah, I'll have to find that one.
Yeah, which I never heard of. I didn't think it was like, I asked Margaret, like, what is this? She's like, oh, it's a story that apparently they're advertising as the most controversial story ever. Apparently it's like a Dark Knight's, Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight Returns version of Spider-Man. But I don't know. I never heard of it before, but they're making more apparently. So more Spider-Man.
All right. Yeah. At first it gave me Abrams Man vibes, but it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, so sorry, that was my pick of the week's Amazing Spider-Man number 31. And partly because, yeah, lots of short stories, lots of like in and out, tell you a little bit, get you excited, make you wonder what's going to come in the next so many months. And hopefully they don't disappoint us.
There you go. Jared, what is your other pick of the week?
My other pick of the week was Max Rebo. I enjoyed it. It was a 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi one shot. So it's Max Rebo during pretty much right before Han gets brought in and Leia and everyone comes and rescues him. There is a plot to take over from Jabba and he's just kind of chilling out. That's basically it. He's just like, he's just there. And it's from his point of view. He talks about when Leia comes in with the thermal detonator, he's thinking that they're all going to die. And it goes through everything. And I loved towards the end where the plot to take over from Jabba starts unfolding from some of the other gangsters and stuff like that.
His other band members.
Right. And they're attacking each other. And Max is like, stop, no more. It's over. And it pans to Leia choking Jabba, you know, and it kind of shows how Max escaped off of the barge and everything.
And but, what he does.
And what he does forward after that. But it was just a fun issue, a light issue of Star Wars. You don't need anything else. If you're a Star Wars fan and always liked the little blue elephant playing the piano, that's this issue's for you. It was fun. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I agree. I think it was better than it had any right to be for me.
Right.
A random, right. Really, Max Rebo, that's who we're going to follow.
Right. And it was fun.
Yeah.
That was it.
I wish I'd read that one over Children of the Vault, because I thought about it real hard and I was like, maybe not. Well,
some of the 40th anniversary Return of the Jedi,
they've been very hit or miss.
Yeah, but that's been Star Wars comics over the past couple of years.
That's been Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's very true. I guess if you're looking back over the past, 20 years worth of comics, they've been very hit or miss.
I mean, look at the prequel movies, the sequel movies.
Yeah.
It's been very hit or miss.
Right. So. Even the original trilogy, there's ups and downs in it.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Max Rebo. It was fun.
My other pick of the weeks is going to be Met Cadets number 1. It actually came out this week also. This is a follow-up to the previous series called Met Cadet U. Or they reclicked that in trade recently, just called Met Cadets as well, just for simplicity's sake. And there is going to be a Netflix animated series coming soon, apparently. But this is, like I said, this is the second chapter, more or less, of that series, where there's these kids that pilot these mech suits that have their own sentience. They're kind of like symbiotic to each other. They're fighting these aliens, and they're having real issues following command, because the commander's like, oh, you know, you're just for reconnaissance, come back no matter what. They get to wherever they need to be, and they feel like they need to interfere, and like, no, you're disobeying orders. And like, well, but we're saving people, and it's giant suits, giant robot suits in space, and has a good amount of drama between the characters and their superiors and stuff like that. And it's a fun story. Actually, Jared, I'm going to give you yet another book to borrow, and that is the Met Cadets Volume 1 that we have as well. That's issues 1 through 12. I read it all in one day, actually.
Really?
Because I enjoyed it so much.
Actually, let me see if it's on Hoopla.
I believe it is, but yeah, again, it's one that I highly recommend. And I enjoyed the series. I would say it would help to read the previous volume as well. But I think you can get away without it. But at that point, you might as well read that one as well. So that is Mech Cadets number one. It's by Greg Pak, who's done a bunch of other things as well. So
did he do the first Mech Cadets?
He did the first one as well. Okay. The first one, I want to say, was like 7 or 8 years ago. It's been a while since
they... Mech Cadet U?
Yeah.
That was the original?
Yes. Okay. And YU is how it's spelled.
Yeah, right.
If they have the full everything, it might just be abridged as Mech Cadets, because that's how the trade is.
Got...
For issues one, I think it's 1 through 12.
The issues, but then I see trades for volumes 5, or issues 5 through 8 and 9 through 12. There's 1 through 6.
So,
yeah, oh, no, that's DC Mech. That's something else.
I mean, like I said, we have the
full volume. I don't see the first volume on there, so I think I'll just borrow the trade from you, if you don't mind.
I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it. We have the trade and the single issues of the new ones in, so you definitely get both of them. Like I said, fully recommend. Any other books we want to talk about real quick before we move on to our book club?
Most of my pull list has been Night Terror, so really...
Night Terrors.
Yep. But I've been enjoying it. Yeah. You know, it is a bit overwhelming. It's like, oh, another Night Terrors book. It's a little much.
Yeah.
But I've been enjoying it. But I'm an avid DC fan, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
If it was Marvel, I'd be like, I'm picking and choosing what I want. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. One thing I'll throw out there. I did read Children of the Vault, Fall of the X, Tomorrow's Children. And the biggest thing that stuck out to me as I was falling asleep through the whole thing was in the background, there was a Starbucks coffee restaurant, and I thought that was hilarious.
In partial defense to you falling asleep, it's also you were up all night and didn't sleep during the day.
And also the X-Men issues are extra wordy, and they're talking about stuff that I don't understand.
And you're out of the loop, so it's a lot to take in. Yeah. So,
yeah, I started writing down a bunch of names. Like, I was interested... Everyone's name had like a number after it because I think they've been regenerated that many times.
Yeah.
Which I also thought at one point, weren't they saying there was like a backlot of people who needed to be regenerated? It almost seemed like some people are being favored and getting to regenerate sooner than others. And it's how is that fair?
Definitely the way they're doing that is we don't want to necessarily bring back everybody, so we'll just have a priority list and they're backlogged. And because comic book, it's better storytelling that way. Like, oh, we'll just put them on the back burner sort of thing.
Kind of. Oh, I assumed that it was part of the, I thought that this is all some plot from Xavier that they have they revealed that yet or not?
They did not turn him evil. The Fall of X, it was not, he did not turn evil for that. So it is just we have so many people we can resurrect, and we need some people more than others right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we need our core X-Men group. If Cyclops and Wolverine die, we need them back immediately because they are A-list characters.
Okay. So. Yeah, there was one scene in this issue that showed Xavier kind of like almost defeated, like knocked down, and something was going on, and they were referring to the Hellfire Gala.
Yeah.
So I was like, something happened there that but obviously was important, which makes sense, but I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's another book that came out this week.
Yeah. Sorry to just throw it out there. Like,
oh, that's okay.
I like random stuff, like just little it's tiny a new things.
X-Men number one. If you're in the X-Men world, then definitely dive into that.
I guess if you already know what's going on, because not knowing what's going on, it's not a bit as much, interesting.
Right. So with that, we'll move on to the book club book of the month, or I guess it is of the month. It's been like 4 weeks,
Is
Nightwing Volume 1, Leaping into the Light. But if you don't want spoilers on that, Laura, what book are we going to be reading in 2 weeks?
I suggested The Manhattan Projects because of the recent movie Oppenheimer that came out.
So we're going to be reading Manhattan Projects Volume 1, which is issues 1 through 5.
Not for the faint of heart either. Like, it's a little funky.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be reading in 2 weeks. So, Nightwing, Leaping into the Light by Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo. Laura, Jared and I had already read this before. What is your take on this?
Actually, I read a couple of the issues before because when we were going over it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember some of this. I think maybe the first 3 or 4.
That sounds about right. Because I definitely would have brought them home with them being Tom Taylor kicking off point.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remembered the dog, Bitewing. I was really glad for that. And some of the art style where, like, they would show his apartment from an above view and like him running around doing stuff. And I liked the way they represented space in these issues. And to do more random stuff, the one t-shirt that Oracle was wearing that had the meme of Batman slapping the heck out of Dick Grayson. And I was like, take that, Nightwing. I'm just going to wear a shirt right in front of you. That
was a fun little Easter egg that they put in, like, and we're having fun with this because why not?
Yeah, overall, I did enjoy it. Although some of the storyline, I was like, really? That's very shoehorned in, but okay, if that's what you want to do with it. But the overall story, sorry if I'm like jumping ahead or anything, but I feel like that was the beginning of it was Dick Grayson is told that he's inherited a bunch of money from Alfred Pennyworth, and he did not expect that. Like, he didn't know that Alfred had all these funds. I think wasn't some of it from taking care of Bruce Wayne that Bruce's parents made him a trust fund something in all of Wayne Enterprises?
Alfred basically, they're like, well, what do you expect for someone that would be raising a billionaire? They would also get paid really well for this. Yeah. And he had no expenses. He was living in the house. He didn't have to pay for rent. He didn't have to pay for a car. He just used all the Wayne stuff. So his money was just sitting there doing nothing. He had no need for it.
I want to go back just a minute to the t-shirt. No. This is just, I had to find it because I saw something. So one of the first times I read this, I noticed when they were kind of sitting there talking on the couch and stuff like this, Dick Grayson's wearing a Black Canary shirt.
Oh, and, I wouldn't notice that.
As Birds of Prey, it's like, I'm a Black Canary fan, not an Oracle or Batgirl fan. You know what I mean? So I thought that was a good thing. But on their coffee cups, on Dick Grayson's coffee cup, it's Adam West holding the big bomb over his head from the old Batman movie.
I didn't even notice that part.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Easter eggs in this that I thought were a lot of fun. The artist, you could tell he was having fun with this. So there's some really cool stuff in there. And I'm sure I didn't even find them all, but those are just a few that I had seen.
Yeah, I wish I was an artist because I love Easter eggs and things. Whenever I had like high school projects, I would do weird stuff. Like whatever, if there was a clock in the room that I had to draw, it would be whatever time it was when I drew that clock. Like things like that. I love Easter eggs in art.
Yeah, you can look at this forever and see, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. There's something there's new. That. Mm-hmm. I love the you adopted the dog as soon as you brought it in through that window. Like,
yeah,
we know you. You're of a bleeding heart. You can't get rid of this dog. That's your dog now. He names her Haley. And then, of course, Robin's like, oh, it's Bitewing. What? You can't name it two names. Like, really? Of all the people in this room, you're saying you can't have two names?
Right.
Yeah. Like, that was just the humor on this. Like,
and they actually mentioned that Barbara's got three names. Right. Oracle, Batgirl, and Barbara. So I thought that was great, too.
And Babs.
So one of my favorites, I'm going to just kind of jump in real quick. Yeah, one of my favorite scenes in this is when he finds out that the new mayor is Tony Zucco's daughter. Tony Zucco is the person who murdered his parents. I'm sure you may have either known that or inferred that from the story.
I mean, the very beginning story or page. So it starts out with a flashback of young Dick Grayson and young Barbara. The second page. After Tony Zucco killed my parents.
Yeah.
Like, it even says right here, it sets up like, oh, here's some foreshadowing. That, right. Remember, it's this person.
Right.
And, like, his name is bolded, too. So it definitely leaves that impression. Like,
right.
Don't forget this.
Yep. So one of the things is this Tony Zucco's daughter ends up being his sister. So John Grayson had an affair, pretty much.
They were dating. Because it was before Dick's parents got together officially.
Okay. An affair can be.
I thought that was. That.
But it was an adult.
Okay. Yeah. So I missed that part where I'm like, okay, so she's, you know.
Because she said this, they were together before your parents were together.
Okay. Like,
They were part of the Flying Grayson still, but they weren't actually dating. Yet.
Okay. Yeah. I missed that then.
I felt it was very shoehorned in. It's like, oh, to make this story work, we're going to.
Yeah, we're gonna
they
do
can't make con. Like the dead parents not adulterous, honorable, you know.
Or they could. Like, I mean,
the Waynes, Bruce's parents, they're honorable people. Dick Grayson's parents, you know. Uncle Ben, you know, they're not going to make them really bad.
Oh, did you read Trouble?
I knew you were going to mention that.
Well, I guess Trouble. Uncle Ben was fine. It was Aunt May who was a slut.
Let's not dive into that the train derailment.
Sorry.
But when Dick Grayson finds out that Tony Zucco's daughter is the new mayor, he goes to visit and kind of gets beat up in the process, and it almost looks like they've captured him.
Yeah, but he was at a deficit in his defense.
But Oracle called in the emergency protocols.
So he's just like, okay, give me my mask. I got to call off this. Otherwise, you're in for a load of hurt because the Titans, Batman, everybody was coming to pull them out. And I'm like, yeah, they were just about screwed.
Yeah, he puts on a mask, call off whatever rescue is about to take place. They attacked you. They defend themselves from a masked man who broke into their home. And, and Robin's like, sure, when you put it that way, like if you tell the truth, then of course it is. But yeah, it's the whole Teen Titans and Batman. They're all coming to the rescue. Like it is guns blazing. Yeah. Like we're going to level everything to save you.
Right. But the fact that they wrote Batman into that, it's just like they could have just had the Titans and Zucco would have been screwed. But Batman's coming too because it's Dick Grayson. It's one of his sons, you know.
Well, and at this point in time in the comic books too, they weren't on the best of terms still. No, like it was still
Dick Grayson, Bruce Wayne never are.
Well, but this one's extra bad because he's still recovering from being Rick Grayson,
right?
So there's that extra turmoil. So like it's definitely the worst of conditions that their relationship's been in.
So yeah, for a while. Yep. I thought that was great that it's just like, everybody just dropped what they were doing because Dick Grayson's in trouble, you know? That was great.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I got a kick out of it when they had the group text messages that Dick shares with like all the Bat family.
He got his wallet pickpocketed and
everybody was making fun of it and everything. And how they called that back later, where he made his announcement how he's gonna change Bloodhaven, use the funds differently. And everyone's like, okay, that's good on you, well done. Like,
right. But there was another piece in there too. There towards the beginning, Dick's like, hey, watch Cass. She tends overuses emojis, and they displayed that later in that text thread.
The continuity in this is well done all the way through. Like, we're definitely setting like, okay, we're going to do this and we're not going to be just a throwaway. We're going to reference it later.
And the callbacks like that are subtle.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have, they didn't need to put that in there, you know?
Once no one you would see it, like, oh, like, you already set that up.
I didn't realize that text message thread until I read it the second time.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great. That's golden.
Yeah. Another callback, like when you said he's a bleeding heart and then one of the main villains in this was stealing hearts. Right. And I was like, they want his golden heart.
Yeah.
So
just reading this again, remind me how much fun the series is.
Tom Taylor, he really gets Nightwing. Like this is some of the best Nightwing stories that have been out, I think. And you know me, I'm an avid Nightwing reader. He's one of my favorite. He's probably my favorite character, you know?
And yeah. When we read this and I didn't have many notes, I was like, it's fine. Jared's got it.
Yeah.
I mean, in the story, there's a lot that happens, but it's all quickly, it's done quickly, but not too quickly too. It's not rushed over, but it feels like a very good pace. Like, oh.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
It made sense. It moved along quickly, didn't drag on anything for too long. Yep. And it really showed that of a book about Nightwing, it's really about Nightwing and his friends and family. Like,
right.
They're always interconnected no matter what.
Yep, that's why some of the best, not sorry to interrupt, but the best original, in his original run as Nightwing, before New 52 and everything like that, some of his best issues were team-up issues with the other characters and his relationships with the other superheroes. He's like one of the few characters that has his foot with every single team. He's got a connection to the Justice Society, the Justice League, Teen Titans, Outsiders. You know, you could go on and he's involved some way.
Well, even when he goes to Superman and says, hey, I'm about to do this thing. It's going to be a little weird. What's your take on it?
Right.
And that even set up how Tom Taylor is going to write the Adventures of Superman, John Kent. John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kent.
Where, like, oh, Tom Taylor's going to be writing that too. And there's going to be a crossover between Nightwing and Superman again.
Which was good.
Through Tom Taylor. Though, like, and like, oh, well, and how Superman's like, yeah, go with the less personal, just text Bruce. He likes the less personal stuff in general. Like,
yeah.
He'll appreciate that for nothing else. And then later on, they call each other and like, no, this is important. It's worth talking about instead of just texting.
Right. And still Batman talked briefly.
Yeah.
Yep. But, Batman called him.
Right.
That's what I
to show the really growth liked. With him, yep. too.
But not just that, it's how much Dick Grayson, what he is doing, meant to Bruce as well.
Right.
You know, Bruce thought it was that highly commendable and personal that he called him.
Right.
And we didn't actually say what his project was yet,
no,
did
not
we?
Yet.
The Alfred Pennyworth.
Right. Which he basically inherited billions of dollars from Alfred, and he's using that to create a... He's going to try to create a utopia that people can afford. Affordable housing,
but starting wages. He's starting with buying housing for all the homeless people first. Like, that's where we're going to start.
And I loved his I loved his reasoning was, they said, why are you starting with housing? And he said, because it's going to be getting cold soon.
And that's the first threat.
That was his reason for starting with housing. Get people off the street so they don't freeze to death.
Yeah. And we can work our way from there. Yep. Just the immediate threat first and then work our way out. And how... Like, hey, everyone needs a safety net. And now the Alfred Foundation will be the safety net for everybody.
I'm going to go back just a little bit and how it actually started. After he found out he's a billionaire, he takes Barbara Gordon to a pizza place. And it's like, really? He's like, two slices. And she's like, really? You're a billionaire now.
Not only a pizza place, but the pizza place was going out of business. I don't know if you saw that in the windows. Yes.
Oh, yep. I didn't notice that.
But he goes, oh, yeah, four slices, instead of actually taking her to a nice restaurant or something like that. You know, that's what his mindset was. Well, and
I think she said four slices. Like, really, only two slices? Like, they're going out of business. You have billions of dollars. Throw them a bone.
Right.
And then he brings all the homeless people there and buys them all pizza.
A man and his son asked him for some change. He's like, sorry, I don't carry some change, but I can buy you pizza or food and everything. Yeah. And
call all your friends.
So he's just buying pizza from this pizza place that's going out of business and feeding the homeless at the same time. And then that's what sparks the idea of the Alfred Pennyworth Foundation. Yeah. But unfortunately, the man that the homeless man with his son, the man gets killed by Heartless.
Yeah. So. I think we pretty much covered this whole thing. Is there anything else that stands out? Was there anything else that stands out that you feel like you have to mention on this?
The Bloodhaven police are corrupt, ran by Blockbuster. When they find the man dead, the homeless man, they kind of suspect Dick Grayson as the murderer because there are some circumstances where them together.
They had the wallet. They were seen at the pizza place.
Right.
Like, there is and then some... the hotel. He was buying him a hotel so him and his son could get off the street for a night.
Well, I love the interaction when he called Barbara, like, I'm kind of getting interrogated for the murder of this. And she's like, don't worry. I got you.
They're both trained in law. Dick Grayson was a police officer. Barbara Gordon's the daughter of police commissioner. Well, she has a law degree.
Yeah, she even has a law degree. So she's like, I'm his attorney and I can corroborate his whereabouts and everything.
And they just shut the detectives down very quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, everything about this whole series was good. It introduced a new character to my knowledge, Heartless. I didn't know of him beforehand.
As far as I know, he's new.
And he's been a solid character throughout this series. Later on, he kills Blockbuster, I do believe, if memory serves.
Spoilers, people haven't read this. This is just volume one, dude. Calm down.
Hey, it's been a great series.
Yeah.
And it led into Dark Crisis, and with what he is doing with the Alfred Pennyworth Foundation, the Justice League's taking a back seat and kind of dissolving right now in the DC universe.
And uses this money to start Teen Titans.
Yep, they're using it to build Teen Titans, and they build Titans Tower in Bloodhaven, which I always liked. It was either in New York or on the San Francisco on the coasts, and now it's right in Bloodhaven.
There you go,
wherever that is.
Yeah,
it's near Gotham.
Yeah. It's like Jersey City.
Exactly.
I forget her first name, but Melinda Zuko? Is that his sister? Mayor Zuko?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. I really liked how well they did it. You didn't know how she was connected to Dick until it happened. Right. Like, I was totally blindsided by that. Overall, I kind of didn't like it. I felt like that was shoehorned in, but...
I did, too, the first time I read it. Yeah. But as I've read this story up until currently...
It's forgivable.
It's
a necessary tool.
The long-term story has been really good, so I'm okay with it at this point.
And who knows? They may end up saying, never mind. He actually wasn't the father, but we're still siblings. Kind of like the fake Parker.
Teresa.
Teresa, TP.
Yeah. I almost just went for TV. Yeah,
they can retcon it. They don't. There's no been no DNA test to confirm it could be Tony Zuko's son.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a story. So
but for
far.
The story, it works.
Yeah, it's been good.
I definitely liked them raising her to be mayor and like putting her in with the crime family and all that, and the way they set that up. And then she's like, "No, I'm actually on your side. Don't tell anybody." Right. I was like, "Ooh!"
But it's like, is it as a reader? You're like, "Is she double gonna triple cross? Right. Yeah. Is she actually on
triple,
a side?
Double, what's quadruple cross?"
You know, they're putting that drama into these stories that work so well.
Yeah. So with that, Jared, 1 to 5. Five. What would you rate? Yeah, I knew that.
5.
There was no doubt in my mind on that one.
Can we go higher than 5?
No, it's out of 5. So that's
there's no Spider-Man. Not higher than 5.
So for me, I've given it a 5 also. I thoroughly enjoy it. I still enjoy the current stuff. And yeah. Laura, what would you rate it 1 to 5?
I'll give it 4.5 because it doesn't have Spider-Man.
Oh, come on. No halves.
Okay, then 4. Oh. Because there's no Spider-Man.
Okay. That's.
Hold on. I wonder if
there's that would be great if there's an Easter egg and I missed it.
Let's say there, I doubt it. Let's say there's a picture of Spider-Man in the background. Then what would you rate it?
4.5. No. Still 4, sorry. That's not enough.
Okay.
It's got to be obvious Spider-Man.
Okay. So yeah, that is our take on Nightwing leaping into the light. Just in case, as a reminder, Jared, what are we reading for 2 weeks out?
Manhattan Project.
Projects.
Projects, whatever.
Volume 1. So with that, we'll move on to the segment that Jared always forgets about.
I'm on it.
And that's Heroes of the Week, comic book or otherwise. Jared, you're on it. Why don't you go first? Who is your Hero of the Week?
Okay. This guy is the writer of the Max Rebo story. I just enjoyed it so much. Daniel Older. That's it. I enjoyed the story so much. He's going to be my Hero of the Week.
Fair enough. Laura, who is your Hero of the Week?
I think I'm going to go with Randy Robertson because I kind of didn't think of anybody better. And he's getting married this week and he forgave Peter for kind of ruining his bachelor party. But he also, like, I think that Peter did better planning on the bachelor party than he let on. And Randy found out after he, like, blew up on Peter and was like, "You always make this about you and blah, blah, blah." And then he found out, oh, wait, Peter actually did try really hard and just things didn't work out, but he was going to take the blame. And I like that Randy took the time to find that out and apologize to Peter and was like, you really are my best man and my usher and like everything at the my bodyguard.
You're the only one that'll show up to actually work for the wedding, so thank you.
Yeah. So I'll go with Randy because it's his day.
All right. And my Hero of the Week is going first I want to say it's not an ad. This is not an ad. However, we just bought a new car this morning.
I was going
to
say, I had a feeling you might go Tom Hall.
We just bought a new car this morning from the Tom Hall dealerships, and the person we buy from, Dave Wolf, my family has bought from him before I was even born, I believe. They've bought off of that salesperson. He's done us well. They helped us get a new car. I like it so far. So
it's very nice.
Our last 2 cars have come from him.
Last 2 cars have come from him. Technically, my last 4 cars, I think, have come from him.
Okay.
But our last 2 cars, yes.
Yep.
We met with him on Monday when some stuff was getting worked on, some minor stuff was getting worked on my car. I was like, hey, we'll just give you a heads up and look for an idea. I was like, okay, well, let's take a look. He let me test drive a car. I brought it home. I liked it. Laura's like, good enough. So we went in this morning and we got ourselves a new car. So if you need a car, Tom Hall and specifically Dave Wolf that works there, I even have his phone number. So if you need a reference, I'll let you know. So
yeah, and one thing I liked from our previous experience, I think it was Tom Hall himself, wasn't it? Like kind of accidentally overheard me. I was complaining about another dealership that made me cry, and he thought it was here. And he, like, swooped in and was like, who made you cry? Like, who do I have to talk to? Right. Like, he was upset for me. And I was like, it was no one here. It was at another dealership. Yep. And he was like, good. And I was like, this guy is kind of fun.
Yeah. So yeah.
I miss those Knock Your Socks Off commercials.
They still do them.
Do they? I have not seen one in a long time.
When was the last time you watched?
I don't watch a lot of cable TV and stuff, though.
Or even local TV with commercials. I mean,
right.
So, it's usually him and his daughter now that do it. I think they're passing the reins to her now.
Oh, good.
I think it's a radio ad too sometimes.
Yeah. So, that was Like I said, I like the car so far. Knock on wood. Hopefully everything stays good with that. And
Tom Hall's treated me well. I bought my last two cars from them also.
It comes with a lifetime warranty, powertrain warranty, which is nice. Not everything, but still pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having a good time with that. So, with that, barring any complications, we...
What are we reading next time?
Manhattan Projects, Volume 1. Dang, which is just like 1 through 5. Nope. Come on, man. That's my gimmick.
I'm going to get you one of these times.
You will, yeah. But yeah, barring any scheduling conflicts or who knows what, sorry that we missed 2 weeks ago. That's been a long time, but...
Yeah, that was my fault. I blame Barbie.
You're out of town. Adrian was out. Like, well, it's just going to be me and Jared.
A couple months ago, I had a headache.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, sometimes we just need the extra week off. It happens. But in the meantime, thank you everybody for listening, and we will see you all next time.
Yay!
Yay, we did it!